I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Shockphobia Fest.
Welcome to Brattleworld. I'm your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome to Shockphobia Fest, a month-long celebration of All Hallows Eve's most frightening films and comic spooks. And have we got a spooky film for you today? The coming-of-age werewolf tale that is Ginger Snaps. And I've brought a pair of spooky friends, the most frightening friends I have. Absolutely not. No, they are the best friends I could ask for at this time of year. It is Nathan Smith and Hannah Hobley. Welcome back, guys.
Woo!
Spooky wooky.
Hi, Dan.
Spooky wooky. You certainly are. You guys are looking very handsome. I know everybody else can't see you, but I appreciate you putting the effort in and looking as good as you do.
Oh, thank you. And you too as well, Dan.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you very much. Well, we are here to discuss a doozy of a cult classic, a true cult classic that is 20 years old today and set on Halloween as well. So it's quite fitting, I think, that we're looking at this film. So Ginger Snaps, what did you guys think? Because I think this is your first time coming to this movie, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, both Ginger Snaps virgins. first time we've watched it. It won't be the last time we've watched it. This will come back for spooky seasons in years to come, because it was brilliant. It didn't disappoint.
Well, I'm so glad you liked it after the last film we reviewed. I'm gonna make sure I watch this again just in case. I'm like, I don't want to just go, you know what, we'll just watch that. No, I was like, I think you guys were quite, because I think I'd mentioned it or you'd mentioned it, and I was like, yes, let's do that. Such a great film. Let's rock with that. So I'm so glad we picked this one, because I love it. I saw it very early when it came out. I think it was kind of quite a cult hit on video, VHS back in the day, kind of a Blockbusters-esque kind of pick for me. But I loved it back then, still love it now. I think it's so well done. It's got a great story, great characters. But yeah, like as first timers, like how did you feel about it? You know, 20 years on, does it still measure up? Has it aged badly? Or
I didn't realize that it was 20 years old. That's really shocked me. So actually, for 20 years ago, that is a state of the art low budget film, because it's aged really well.
I like the fact that everybody in it kind of looks like they should be in a new metal video. Like they should be in a Korn or a Limp Bizkit video.
Well, those were the years. 20 years ago, that was the time when I was going through my goth days at high school. So it was really...
So you were a Ginger or a Bridget?
I was probably a Ginger. I felt really sassy in my... through my goth days. I wasn't shy.
Hannah, you're still very sassy to this day.
You just never grew out of it.
So you know, it must be, did you find it very kind of relatable, the story being kind of that you were growing up or kind of around a similar age at this sort of time?
Totally relatable. I mean, when I got bit by a werewolf back in the day, I went through the similar stages of, no.
What do they call it? Do they keep calling a period the curse?
Yes, they call it the curse.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It's so true. You come on to your first, you know, the curse.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Every month for the next 30 to 40 years, you're going to have a, you know, a few weeks each month of misery.
where you were a werewolf.
And pain. And, yeah. I think maybe it's just a metaphor because we do turn into werewolves.
Yeah, well, I think that's what they were kind of getting at, that, you know, your emotions are all, you know, out there, and, you know, it's a difficult time. Being on your period and having your period is kind of linked to the kind of lunar cycle a little bit as well. I don't know. But yeah, I think that was kind of the allegory or the kind of metaphor they were going for. And I think it works totally within the context of the film.
I hadn't really thought about it until this moment, but yeah, maybe it's a good way for men to see this film and start to try to understand and sympathize the struggles and the pains that we have as women.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, none of us on this podcast believe that womanly functions are a curse.
Not for you.
Nathan, how did you take all the? I know you're not great with the discussion of kind of blood and kind of those.
I am a fainter at blood. I'm fine usually on kind of films and TV, but not very. The certain aspects of blood on screen which still do make me a little bit queasy. I was fine on the majority. I think the only bit which kind of made me a little bit green at the gills was when she was...
You know, the belly button ring.
Ah.
Of all of it, that was the bit that made him really squeamish. Because I guess it's like a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It can handle, like, the extreme gore. But when it's just, the tiny mundane stuff, like, not for Nathan.
I thought you'd struggle with the school nurse bit. Because the way she describes the going on your
yeah.
But yes. I thought you might.
So there was quite a lot of wincing in that. Again, not to do female bodily function.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But just in blood in general.
Yeah, of course. It's totally natural, you know. And I think what I quite like about this film is that they are so they're so kind of... The positivity, everyone else is very kind of positive in the film. A lot of them are very like, you know, go out, you know, be yourself, be true to who you are, you know, accept yourself, accept your body as it is. But the girls are like, oh God, you're making me sick. Shut up. You know, it's like you kind of get to the point with the girl. I think the girls in it, Catherine Isabel and Emily Perkins, I think it is, who play Bridget and Ginger, or Ginger and Bridget. They are so, their chemistry is so good. The writing is so good. I think that you're almost from the get-go, you're kind of on their side. You're kind of like you're behind them, and you kind of go, yeah, this town is this kind of, I think they want it to be this kind of Norman Rockwellian kind of town, but like the underbelly is obviously a lot darker and seedier, and obviously you've got this beast out there that's just eating neighborhood dogs.
And I think that's such a great sort of introduction into it. Like you don't like get a newscast or anything like that. It's just, oh yeah, there's a big dog kind of eating other dogs. All right, okay, right. I'm in the world now.
And like they don't mess around. Part of me kind of wishes that they'd started off with the girls doing all the death scenes a little bit. Like, you know, in the credits, like if that was the opening and then they reveal that they're not actually dead and they're kind of like, oh, it's just photos and stuff. And then maybe going into the dead dog stuff. I don't know. Maybe that might have made a better opening. But I know that this film had a little trouble getting funding because of it was about goths. It was about troubled goths. It was about deaths surrounding a high school, so this was not long after the kind of Columbine shooting. So I know it did struggle to get funding. So I can imagine maybe that was the original start, but then they were like, no, let's get to the werewolf stuff quicker. Come on, let's do more werewolves. It's a cool little universe they build, and the relationships they have with the other people at school. Like high school was horrible for me. I don't know about most people, but bloody horrible.
I went through it too, Dan, and yeah. I think. The bullying aspect that they picked up in the film, they did really kind of hit the nail on the head with that.
It's just it's kind of like obviously nowadays we've got like social media and this, you know, online bullying and stuff, but it was of that era that, you know, we grew up in, that I think it kind of hits home for us a bit more, because we kind of go, yeah, it was a bit like that actually. It was kind of, that is kind of what we had or what we experienced at that time. What do you guys think to kind of the rest of the kind of supporting cast that were involved in the film?
Love the parents.
Yeah, the parents were good.
Comedy.
Yeah. I love that kind of little subplot about their marriage not working very well. And when shit hits the fan and everything like that, she's like, oh, we'll just torch the house and leave.
We'll just leave. What about Dad? It's fine. Leave him here.
Yeah. Just blame me. I thought that was great, yeah.
I love. It's Mimi Rogers plays the mum. I think it's Pamela. I think she plays. And I love. I really love that she has like. It's not like this love she has for her children is absolutely genuine. Like it's not like, oh, you know, you're a goth. I'm not really into you being a goth. I don't really understand you. She's so supportive, so loving. You know, to the point where it's like annoying for the girls. But like in that scene where she finds like the cheerleader's fingers and realizes that they've murdered a girl. She's literally going to destroy her life just to protect her girls. Like she will do, like you said, burn down the house. She'll, you know, she'll do whatever she can. And she's worried because she's thinking that everybody would blame her anyway, because she feels like outside of her home that people view these goth girls as not having, you know, a kind of good family model, or like she's not disciplining them enough or something like that. And she says, you know, they'll blame me anyway. They will blame me for whatever's happened because they think it's my fault already. So it doesn't really matter. So I will burn down the house. I'll dispose of those bodies to protect my girls. I love you so much. And, you know, no matter what you're into or, you know, how you approach your lifestyle, the goth lifestyle, like I still love you, you know, and I'll do anything for you. And I think that's a really nice kind of message throughout the film that you see that.
She does. She doesn't stop trying, does she? And of course, they're like of that age where they don't want anything to do with the mum or dad. But she's always there just pecking away, even if they're yelling for her to get out. There's a really nice moment where they've got the body in the freezer trunk.
Yeah.
And Bridget needs to distract her mum from actually looking in the freezer trunk. So she says, and the first thing that comes to mind is, what do boys want? Because, of course, she knows that your mother is always ready to talk about these things, to sit you down and have that word. And she does. She sits them both down on the settee and they have to then sit through the talk. But it's great. That was a sweet moment.
One critique I will give to the film is I didn't feel as though the mother's story had an ending. The last time we saw her, she's in the party with the fingers kind of looking for her daughters. And then I was expecting at some point for her to arrive back at the house and see it all, or just something. But there's no sort of closure for her.
No, I agree. I agree. I feel like there's a deleted scene somewhere of her, like maybe even if she maybe came home at the end and kind of held her daughters as they're both like there. Or maybe something like that. But yeah, I agree. I think there should have been some sort of, I kind of don't mind that the dad's not really involved. I think that's quite funny because he's like, you know, when they're discussing like periods and stuff, you can see him visibly being uncomfortable and like, it's, you know, he's like, you know. But I do like the moment where she's like, he's like, the mum's like, oh, you don't understand these sort of things. They're girls, you don't understand. And he's like, yeah, well, why all of a sudden do they care what you think? She's like, shut up. you don't know what you're talking about. He's like, okay,
maybe there's like a deleted scene where like she's just getting stoned with the rest of the kids at the party and she's like, she's not, that's why she hasn't come back home or something.
Yeah, I hope she had a nice time at that party.
Somebody accidentally smokes one of the fingers. It's just like
yeah. Something like that. I'm just surprised that there's that there wasn't any closure to her story.
Yeah, I think that was a shame because I think she's one of the better kind of female characters. And I do think this is like, I think this is what the director and the writer wanted. I think it's Karen Walton who wrote it. And she was a bit unsure about writing it. But the director was like, we need a horror film that has, you know, positive female characters, female role models. And, you know, that tells a genuine story and a proper, that has a plot and character as opposed to just being like a cheerleader that screams and gets stabbed. And they went for it. And I really do see this as quite a strong kind of feminist kind of horror film. And I think horror is, I know I've talked about it with Rasheen before, that the horror genre does have a lot of this kind of positive feminine power kind of stuff going on. And I think this is one of the stronger movies that shows that and has that kind of sisterhood, and that it's such a nice mix of all these kind of things, like the werewolf myth, the coming of age, the, you know, puberty, the, you know, starting to have relationships with boys and stuff, high school, all that sort of stuff. I think it's kind of all comes together and mixes quite well. There's never like a bit where I feel like it's like, oh, well, they could have done more with that, or they could have had something else. But yeah, it's an interesting kind of, it's almost a bit more like a vampire film, really, because we don't really get any, like, there's not a lot of the kind of special effects kind of a full, what we would consider a full werewolf, like a fully transformed werewolf, until kind of just at the beginning and then right at the end. But it is about that kind of metamorphosis and how it affects your personality, your emotions and your body. You know, some really good kind of, the humor in it is really good as well. Like, I love the bit where he's like, you know, what do you think that thing was that I ran over? You know, what is, you know, she's like, oh, well, I think it's just a big dog. And he was like, yeah, how come it has a circumcised penis then? You know, like, stuff like that. It's like, it's brilliant. Or the bit where Ginger's almost like fully transformed. She's got the Halloween makeup on. She starts taking her top off and you see all her dog nipples.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love like stuff like that, little kind of nods. And I think the makeup is really good, like especially around her eyes, kind of give her that kind of wolf-like look and everything. I know the director, in fact, said he refused, like straight up refused to use any CGI effects. And I think that has helped the film not look as dated as it probably could have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. True. Yeah, because yeah. That sort of like early noughties, late 90s CGI is just awful now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's just aged, and I think obviously it's come on leaps and bounds. But I, you know, as I also think that opening scene with the attack, when the wolf shows itself, I think it's shot really well, and they shoot round. Again, I think it's a lot of these kind of creature effects, it's how you shoot it. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, just show it. It's like kind of, you've got to hide it a little bit or show us a bit. Like, I like the Polaroid that kind of gets a bit of the kind of half of the wolf's face and stuff, and you get the shots, and then you just see like Ginger like being flung from, you know, side to side, things like that. But it's a fantastic kind of film. Are you guys like fans of werewolf movies in general, or?
I've seen a lot of the biggies, like American Werewolf in London, and Dog Soldiers, if you count that as a classic. Yeah. I think it's quite good.
Yeah.
But apart from that, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think, what, you don't get as many werewolf films compared to like your zombies or your vampires.
Yeah, I think what it is the effects are really hard to do and to make them look good and like convincing. But I do quite like The Howling. That's a really good one, American Werewolf in London. I quite liked one called Howl, which basically it's werewolves on a train. it's like a British movie. It's great. Highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, I think it's kind of the underdog of horror, literally. Quite literally, werewolf films are the underdog of horror. And I think when you get a good one, you're like, oh, yes, great. This is fantastic. I want more of this. But then, you know, you get a whole slew of bad ones on top of that. But yeah, I think it works out. And I think, again, I think it builds it quite nicely that you don't, you know, you're not getting it in the, you get a little bit and then you get lots of the end. You get your kind of, it builds slowly, but builds in a good way. And I also think you get to know the characters, like they're fully fleshed out characters as well. Like they're not, you know, they're not just like, he's just another victim or she's just another victim. I tell you what, we've talked around it, but we've not really talked about the plot that much. we're like, yeah, that bit. Spoilers. But yeah, so what? How would you describe the plot to Ginger Snaps for the first time viewer if they were going to look into kind of watching this?
It's about two sisters, Ginger and Bridget, where Ginger is a year older, but Bridget
was moved up a year.
And they've kind of like got a suicide pact, don't they? To die when they're they're 16, and they kind of like the macabre and enjoy the concept of death. So for their school project, they take videos and pictures of them dead in different positions and in different
ways.
There is a large beast terrorizing the town, who you can see their remains of neighborhood dogs. And one day Ginger finally comes on her period, or as she refers to it, the curse. As they're trying to get some revenge on a local bully, she is attacked by a werewolf.
Yeah, I think that's, you've summed it up pretty well. And again, we go through the various stages. She grows her own tail, which is
Werewolf transition, her gradual transition.
But it is good that it's a gradual transition. I like that. Like it takes a while for her to turn.
It's kind of reminds me of those kind of the old kind of Dracula vampire films where he would have to visit someone like several nights and drink their blood for several nights, and then they would die. And then a few days after that, then they would raise from the dead. It wasn't like you're bitten, transform. You know, it's not a Train to Busan situation where it's just like, straight away, you know, an instant thing. But I like that kind of slow burn. And I think this isn't like a film with a huge body count either. It's not like a big, like, you know, there's lots of kills and stuff. It is more like a character piece. And I think that's the strength of the film. And it's the acting, the performances, the writing. But yeah, I know Catherine Isabel went on to do kind of a lot. I think she was in a film called American Mary, where she's like a med student and gets up to like, but you know, behind the scenes, she's doing like illegal experimental surgeries on people that they're paying for. So kind of weird kind of body modification and stuff. I'm not sure what Emily Perkins has done. Don't know if she's done that
one
much.
One of them's in It. One of them's in the TV series.
Ooh, I don't know.
Of It.
Yeah, maybe Emily Perkins. Yeah.
She's in the Tim Curry It.
Hannah's looked it up. She knows. Hannah knows. She's in the know. She's in
probably
the
learning.
And what I really like about it is this, like, this kind of parallel that she's been bit by this werewolf, but she still thinks all the things happening to her is due to her period, which is so well done.
Confusing times.
Well, she's like, I'm growing hair in strange places. And the nurse is like, yeah, that's normal. That's totally normal. I love the bit where she's like, I've got a hairy chest. This is so fucked. But yeah, do you have some of your favourite moments? Hannah, do you have any favourite moments within the film? Like specifically where you're like, this is brilliant.
Definitely the freezer moment. That was up there for me. I liked that Ginger, it wasn't all bad. Like the transition of her turning into a werewolf actually turned her into a really like confident, sassy girl, and she got the guy.
Mm-hmm. In more ways than one.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, it was kind of like, it was almost like she's more confident, she's more okay with her body. She's transformed into a woman. You know, she's on that journey to becoming a woman, and she feels that this is all normal to have these hormones, to be angry and be aggressive all the time, or, you know, or to change and to flip and to all these sort of things. Yeah, I think that is one of the better kind of segments of the film, where she grabs Jason. Like initially she's like, no, because the girls have made a pact. They're like, don't you dare be normal. Don't you be a simp like everybody else. Don't you, you know, it just reminds me of South Park, because they're like, it's just them standing around going, oh, conformists, those bloody conformists. And I'm like, yeah, kind of, that's kind of what they're making fun of in South Park. But yeah, she becomes like, she's, you know, she's open to things, open to new experiences, taking drugs, all that sort of stuff. But she's slowly...
When they were in the car, and obviously this, like, she's a virgin, and he says, right, you just lie back. And she's like, no, you lie back.
Yes. She,
like, took charge of the situation, and it didn't actually show what happened. But he did live to tell the tale and went to brag to his friends afterwards that basically Bridget had rocked it. Ginger rocked the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that she took the power of the situation. She was the aggressor. She was like, no, I know what I want and I'm going to get it, sort of thing. And then he comes out and he's in bits. He's got all this, like, the lads are like, what happened? Yeah, lads are like, he's covered in blood and stuff, and he's bleeding out of his orifice.
And in this moment, you're expecting him to say like something horrific happened, but instead it was like, "Way, lads, I got laid."
Lads, yeah, exactly. It's like you don't want to. But that's the thing, is they're all like very, you know, they're very kind of worried about what other people think, like teenagers would be. And I think that's, you know, it's like, look, you're bleeding at the end of your penis. Ah, yeah, no, it's my red pen leaked, you know, all that sure. sort of stuff. And even when they're like, I love that bit where they're in the kind of, is it hockey? They're playing hockey, I think. And she's like, yeah, search and destroy. So they pick someone and they're like, they go, right, this is how she's going to die. Da-da-da-da-da, and kind of list it. And she's like, I think they call the girl, the bully girl, like a cum bucket and stuff. I was like,
they do,
like,
yeah.
I was like, wow. Okay. I was like, bloody hell, this is pretty hardcore. Like, you're really tearing into her. So no wonder she kind of attacks her with a hockey stick. I'd be like, yeah, kind of asked for it a little bit.
I thought that the scene at the end where the driving Ginger home because they need to get a dose of this injection that's gonna save her.
Yeah,
they've got her in the back of the van, and you don't see werewolves throughout it. You only have tiny little glimpses, and that's the first time that you see really a werewolf in all of its form, and it's terrifying. And when she's let loose in the house and they're hiding. I thought that was really well done. It was, you know, it was spooky.
Yeah, it was like they made that, like, you know, that regular house quite a kind of, you know, house of horrors almost. It was kind of like,
yeah,
getting the basement and the shooting through the walls and, you know, biting each other and stabbing each other and all that sort of stuff. It was quite kind of like you're on the edge of your seat kind of thing, because again, like, you've built up that relationship with these characters, and at this point, this is like, you know. You want a finale to be good. You want it to, you know, be a huge, great big arc and an enjoyable arc for those characters, and to kind of resolve in a way. It might not be a happy ending, but you want it to resolve in a definitive way. And I think you really do get that with this film. It's very well paced as well. And yeah, I just gush over it, really, because I just like this movie so much. And I always, every time I kind of forget how good it is, and I come back to it and go, no, it is great. It's really good quality stuff. And I like the kind of, because like with every vampire movie or every zombie movie, every werewolf movie, they always kind of play around with the rules and the kind of the lore of, you know, werewolfism, like, you know, does silver work, does garlic work, you know, that sort of thing. So I quite like that in this one it's like an STD as well. you don't have to bite them, you don't have to do anything like that, you just have sex with them and that's it. And I love that Jason in his transformation, like, he gets really bad acne.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah.
So again, it's kind of going back to that, you know, is just puberty? You know, he's a bit more aggressive and a bit more, you know, violent and stuff.
It's quite funny because he got really bad acne and it looked like pieces of his face were falling off, whereas it does wonders for the female.
We just, you know, if you're a lad, don't get bit. If you're a girl, maybe just a little nibble. I love that. That horrific bit where I think there's a lot of, like, there's probably a lot of young men out there would find this film very uncomfortable. I think some of the stuff in it and some of the kind of subject matter, you know, developing teenage young men would be a bit like, you know, they have sex and, you know, he's getting bad acne and peeing blood and stuff and you know, but I think it's probably a thing, a good film to show, like you were saying at the start, Hannah, like that empathy for what young women go through when they're developing, you know, maybe it's quite a good thing to show that and to kind of get that empathy across to maybe young men at that age. But also you get a cool werewolf film, so you get the message wrapped in a bit of entertainment. So
I've got a question which has been on my mind since watching it. when Jason gets the curse as well, and is starting to develop into a werewolf, he says to Bridget, "Oh, I just want to rip small animals." And then when Bridget next sees him, there's a little boy dressed as a dog, and he's got hold of this little kid. So if Bridget wouldn't have turned up, he was going to rip apart and eat that child dressed as a little dog, wasn't he?
Good. Wow. Yeah. I guess, yeah, I didn't notice that myself, but if that's the fact, I mean, he says, "I've had my own dog, man. What am I supposed to do?" You know, I'll be honest, if you're a dog lover, probably not the film for you either. Like, no, if you don't want to see horrible things happen to dogs, like, there's a lovely, like, my family had a Rottweiler, and there's a lovely Rottweiler in this, and one gets eaten and one disappears. I think that's not really resolved. It's not really. It's kind of hinted that Ginger does something with the bully's dog, the female bully's dog.
I think it's Jason.
Did the dog get kicked?
Yeah, the dog gets kicked in it.
It's not a film for dog lovers.
No, absolutely not. And or wolf lovers, you know, you're gonna
lovers. No,
if you're a wolf lover, you know, it's gonna make you cry as well. What did you think? Go on. Sorry.
Oh, no. It's just a preference, Dan. What do you prefer? Where werewolves in these modern sort of like werewolves, like in your True Bloods and your Twilight. Is it a little bit of a cop-out that when they turn into, like, werewolves, they're nice, beautiful huskies? Like, or do you prefer, like, that sort of half-human, half-werewolf-esque feature to them?
So the Twilight, you know, you've probably heard my Twilight thoughts on Twilight. So, I wasn't a fan of the big huskies. That wasn't the werewolf, you know, myth I want to see. Like, this is the werewolf myth I want to see. I quite like the design of werewolves where they're kind of less hairy. Like, you see more of their body and their bones and their muscles, but there's a little less hair on them. Like, do you remember, like, Prisoner of Azkaban, where he turns into the werewolf? Yeah. And there's very little hair on it. I quite like seeing that. I think the obvious thing is you want to see lots of hair and stuff and it being very kind of fluffy. I think you're talking about like the kind of the quadruped versus the kind of biped, the kind of stood on two legs or stood on four legs. I think a bit of both. I've not got too much of a preference.
It's like you want your spooky season werewolf to be hairless and terrifying, and maybe your summer werewolf to be a husky.
Yes. Yeah. I think so. I think that's a kind of a fashion taste, seasonal fashion change for the old werewolves. I watched a film a few years ago called Silver Bullet. It's based on a Stephen King film, and the werewolf effects are pretty good. Like, I quite like them. I know some people have issue with it, but in that, a werewolf kind of swings around a baseball bat. So if you want to see that, it's brilliant. It stars Gary Busey as well, Nathan. So I know you're a fan.
Sold.
I think that's also set at Halloween, I believe. Yeah, I think it is. Check that one out. That's a fun one. I think I just like seeing werewolf movies, I think. And if they're convincing and if they're shot well and they look good, I think that's, you know, that's the strength of the movie. I've not seen that many ones with kind of CGI. But I think I might dip my toe in a bit further into the kind of werewolf movies, kind of see if there's any other kind of ones that, because again, I'm a bit like you, Nathan, I've stuck to the kind of the main ones and kind of haven't steered too far away from them. But I think
nothing really happened with that Benicio del Toro one, did there?
I think they were trying to make a new kind of Universal Monsters universe, which they've been trying to do for like 20 years now. It's just never seems to come off. But apparently they're doing pretty well with The Invisible Man, so they're thinking maybe with that they might be getting closer, but we'll have to wait and see. That was by the director of Captain America, actually, that one. I think I own it, but I haven't watched it. So maybe one day this week I'll check that out. Here's an interesting fact. Do you know the school announcer?
Hello, can somebody come to the principal's office, please?
Yeah, I thought it was Will Ferrell at first.
No, it is in fact Lucy Lawless from Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah.
And during one of her announcements, she asked for Ted and Sam Raimi to join her in the office.
Yeah.
Nice little nod, because obviously she's worked with those guys before. I thought that was a nice little thing, and it was like a nice little kind of nod. Should we talk about all the killings? Did you have a favourite killing?
I liked the death of the bully, because it was kind of like an accident. Like it wasn't kind of like the cause of Ginger like biting or ripping her apart. Mm. It was just something that she slipped on milk and hit her head.
That was the victorious death, wasn't it? Because she wasn't a nice person. There were a few deaths that were really quite sad, and you didn't want the character to go. But the death of the bully was a satisfying one.
Oh,
I must say, I kind of wish at one of the deaths she like ripped somebody's head off. because the janitor guy just kind of got bashed around.
Oh, that poor janitor. He was such a nice guy, and you know, Ginger takes a disliking to him, and he just absolutely gets him. Poor guy. Oh, I felt so bad for him because he was so nice.
Awful for the janitor. I felt awful for the botanist, who had been really helpful throughout all of it. He was just trying to help, and I'd kind of hoped that he'd get it on with Bridget.
Yeah.
Really kind of rooting for that, because, Bridget was a real underdog, but, you know, for her to get together with the hottie. That's my, like, girl dream, though, isn't it? Like, let's end the horror with a romance.
True, but I believe he's quite a bit older, and I think she's only 15. And I think Ginger makes a comment like, she's only 15, you weirdo, and he's like, I don't see her that way, I don't.
Do you know what? True story. It's just, I know that the actress was older, but totally illegal, so I'm going to undo that. Not rooting for that at all.
That's all right. Well, to be honest, it's only in like a few lines. You could miss them. Like, there's so much dialogue in this, you could easily miss that sort of stuff. I thought he was quite a good character, though, because he wasn't really like it wasn't as predatory as most of the kind of the male characters, or as dismissive or rude or, you know, just horrible person. He was quite, you know, he is a drug dealer, fair enough, you know, but he was genuinely helpful. He was interested. He was fascinated. He was, you know, he was like, I'm thinking lycanthrope, you know, he throws that idea out there. He's the first person to throw that idea, thinking, you know, that he might be a werewolf and stuff, and all the research happens, and, you know, and she's watching that like fake horror movie, like, oh, the werewolf's coming for us, you know, he gets shotgun out and stuff. I love the play with the mythology, that it's not, you know, it's not like Wolfsbane or Silver that does it. It's this other kind of holistic. They're like, oh, the holistic medicine people say this. I was like, okay, sure, holistic medicine. And then he's like, oh yeah, you're gonna have to inject it. And it's like, oh bloody hell, it's kind of is a bit extreme, but it kind of like drains it. And then she tries it. Bridget tries it on Jason, and he kind of just goes,
I've got a lesson. I've got to go.
He's got that big syringe poking out of his neck, and he's just like, oh, stands bolt upright. He's just like, yeah, I'm leaving. Oh, and he's just walking around, big syringe in his neck. And I'm wondering, has that affected his memory, or, you know, what does that do? Is that a permanent cure? Is that, you know, a partial thing?
Does he not want to eat the dog child anymore?
The dog child. that sounds like a film all on its own. The dog child. Watch out for the dog child. No, not the dog child. I genuinely really, really enjoyed this. And I think it was this kind of time, this kind of era where we were getting those kind of, you know, things that were kind of making fun or shaking up the horror genre a little bit. Like Scream and, you know, things like that, or, you know, parodies like Scary Movie and stuff. You know, we'd had so much horror in, you know, such a short amount of time, because they just spam them out a lot of the time. But I think it was kind of a veering away from those kind of old kind of standards, and kind of looking at where, you know, not long after this, we get the kind of torture porn stuff like Saw and Hostel as well.
When did Blair Witch compared to this?
I think, no, I want to say 98, I think. Yeah. So I don't think it was long after. 98, 97 maybe? I'm not sure off the top of my head. But yeah, there was definitely a shift and more kind of character. I think you see that a lot more with now the kind of like the ghost stuff. You see a lot more kind of character-based things instead of like kills, 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 blood, 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 blood. You see a lot more of that kind of gradual build and then like a, oh, there's a guy behind me, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, I genuinely think this is one of the best kind of werewolf movies ever made. And again, just a strong, strong film in its own right. And yeah, just full of great characters, full of great writing. Who else gets murdered? Let's have a think. Well, Sam the drug dealer gets murdered quite brutally.
We don't see the head teacher get murdered, do we?
No.
He's just...
He's just lying. To be fair, like, I mean, there's a fair few times where I've gone to the headmaster's, you know, office, and I probably did imagine something like that happening, or hoped that something like that would happen. Not that I ever would, but it's, you know, it's nice to imagine sometimes. It makes you feel a bit warmer inside, you know, just the odd bit of imagined murder. It's healthy. Yeah. It's a healthy thing. Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there was anybody else, but it's not, I mean, apart from the, and we don't really know where the first werewolf comes from either. Like, there's no... It's kind of a mystery.
But I like that. I like that there's no sort of... We need to find out who he was or who she was. I like that they just gets into it and they're dealing with their own issues.
And there aren't many murders because there aren't many characters. They've just got a handful of good characters that are all relevant to the story. It's just a select number of people and it's really well put together.
Have you seen any of the sequels, Dan?
I have not, but I know I think Emily Perkins is in the second one, and I think they both come back for the third one, but it's set in like the 1800s or something.
Yeah, I think they were filmed back to back, I think I was reading.
Yeah, well, probably based on the proper popularity of it on video. I know it was the fifth highest grossing Canadian film of that year.
That's high praise.
That is high praise. Good bit of almost a little bit like Canuck exploitation, sort of a little bit, I guess. it's probably under that umbrella somewhere. But yeah, I'm just trying to see if there was anything else worth talking about in it. Oh yeah, a lot of people actually compare this online to another film with Megan Fox called Jennifer's Body.
Oh yeah, by Diablo Cody.
Could be. I'm not sure. I've never seen the film myself, but yeah, I've heard it's good. I've heard it was a little kind of a cult classic, but it's, again, it's a very kind of a high school metamorphosis horror with kind of a lot of kind of feminist kind of underpinnings and things like that. And kind of there's some predatory guys. I think she turns the tables because she becomes this demon creature thing. So yeah, a lot of people kind of put them side by side because they're quite similar in kind of tone and setting and characters and stuff. Because I think it's got Amanda Seyfried in it. I think she's in it.
Apollo Juno, which is completely different film.
quite. You know, one gives birth to a demon, you know, and one becomes a demon, and one is just having a baby. Just giving birth. You know, we don't know how that child turned out. Could be an awful child. I did like the explanation for why the werewolf finds Ginger and Bridget. Because, like, Bridget's going, it just made me think of Anchorman, because it's going, bears can smell the menstruation. Yeah. It's just like, that's just the line. I was just like, yeah, I can't hear that line and not think of Anchorman when anybody mentions that. I also remind the tail, like, Ginger's tail reminded me of Shallow Hal as well.
Ooh. It reminded me of Shallow Hal as well, yeah.
Oh, that was horrible. It was really cool. Like strapping it to a leg before PE.
Yeah. Oh God. And it's just, yeah, she's just like, well, the bit where she's looking at her sister and her bum's out while she's sleeping and she's just like, you know, she's looking, pulls her pants down, sees the little waggly tail. It's just like, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of kind of, it's kind of like a body horror in a way. Kind of this. Yeah.
Cronenberg-esque.
Yeah. Isn't it? There's a lot of kind of Cronenbergisms. But yeah, I just, just moments like that just made me laugh. But I think that's what's good. It's like, it's a perfect balance of kind of horror, you know, emotion, kind of high school drama, that love, you know, at the end, Bridget's trapped. Sam's been killed eventually. and kind of Ginger's that really good moment where Ginger's as a werewolf is like, ah, and she's like, she's almost beckoning Bridget to come because she knows she's been infected as well, because that was the only way Bridget could get her back to the kind of to the house. And they put her in a van and she starts transforming and comes out of this almost like cocoon almost. And she's like, she's telling her to kind of lap up the blood like it's like milk or something, water. She's like, come on, we're both the same, you and me together forever, dying together. Come on, this is what we do. We're sisters. We're in this. And she starts doing it and then she's like, nah, can't do it. Can't drink this blood.
Doesn't she vom a little bit first? It's like, actually, no, there's into like, me.
Not for me. And you know,
at that point that like that Ginger then turns on her. It's like, right, okay, if we're not the same, then.
And you see that throughout the film. You see her kind of like Ginger just kind of snapping. Like she'll say one thing and she'll be like, "Shut up, no!" You know, it's choreographed. I mean, it's kind of telegraphed rather early on in the film that she'll just kind of her emotions will just spin on a dime and just be like, you know, oh, I want to kill you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I want to kill you. You know, it's that sort of thing. And we see that. And then right at the end, you know, like Ginger's like, you know, let's die together, jumps on the knife. Well, do you think she purposely jumps on the knife or do you think she just goes for it?
There's still the syringe, isn't there? Mm. She's got the knife in one hand and she's got the syringe in the other hand. And it's like she chose to go for the knife and not the syringe, which
yeah.
is, there's some food for thought there.
Mm. See, it's a deep, deep movie. So, you know,
I really want to watch the next one because I've not had my closure from it yet. But that's not necessarily a bad thing with horror. You know, with these questions,
wanting more. Well, I think I even might delve into it. You know, I've seen this one tons of times, so I think I might finally just delve into it, see how the story carries on. But yeah, it's almost like she couldn't live with what she'd become. Because Bridget even says, I want to live, I want to live, I choose life, I choose to live. But Ginger's like, no, I've always wanted to die. We made this promise, we've got a blood pact, you know, we cut our hands or burnt our hands together, you know, and did what we did. And it's like, you know, I killed all these people, can I actually live with that? Probably not. So I'll jump on the knife. And then they just kind of, you know, Bridget just holds her, even and hasn't even taken the cure either. She's still got the cure. So maybe that was it as well. Maybe that Ginger jumped on the knife so Bridget could cure herself. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Who knows? But then she just holds Bridget. Bridget holds Ginger, still as a werewolf. She doesn't like transform or anything. It's just, you know, she's still this monster. And then camera pans away and it ends on that moment. Sad.
Tears galore.
Yes. Drenched in tears. But yeah, I think we've covered that film. I think I'm happy to end it there. Do you guys have anything else you want to say about it, or anything else you'd like to discuss?
I just want to say I wish I would have watched it when I was a bit younger.
I'm glad I watched it when I did. I think I wish I'd seen it more. I think in that time, in the 20 years that it's been on, and I think the fashions and the stuff in the film, like it could have been made today. Like I think there's still, you know, there's a lot of kind of, you know, the goth sensibilities and dress code is not that dissimilar. Like, you know, if it was made in the 90s or the 80s, I think, or the early 90s or 80s, I think you could tell there'd be a difference. But I think it's, again, hasn't aged a day really. It could easily be, you know, I think that's probably why they haven't remade it as well, because I think it just, it's still quite, you know, there's nothing has aged about it, and that's why it still works. Yeah, it's been good. Anything else, guys?
No, that's go watch it if you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, and thank you, Dan, for encouraging us to watch it, because it's now going to be a staple spooky film.
What are your favourites?
It's fab.
Well, I'm glad I brought a good film into your life. You know, after Meek's cut off, never again. That's good. Well, guys,
that movie from my life.
Yeah, cut it right out of my living experience. So, guys, where can people find you on the social medias if they want to find you?
Well, you can find me at Nath Rich Smith.
And you can find me at Hannah Hobley.
Easy. And is that Twitter, Instagram, a bit both?
That's on all the platforms.
All
those amazing platforms. Well, you can find the podcast at Facebook. It's at Secret Balls. Twitter, it's at Dan_Balls. Instagram, Spider-Dan Secret Balls. And the podcast is available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, and many, many more. And if you'd like to donate towards the podcast, you can buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/Spider-Dan and the Secret Balls. And don't forget to use the hashtag #PrepareForPrattle. Hope everyone's enjoying their Halloween. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.